like to turn in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, to the chapter we read. And I'd like to remind you of things which you all will know. And I'm not going to be telling you anything new this morning. But to remind us of those things that we know. The Bible is full of reminders of God's truth. And we need to be reminded. You've only got to go out today or any time in the last few days to know that we are at the point when large numbers of people around the world think about Christmas. You go in the shops, the children are at school and doing their Christmas plays or whatever it is they do at Christmas, and you're reminded that this is something special, at least in our culture. We know that there are many people around the world who do not celebrate Christmas. But this country still celebrates Christmas. But what is it all about? That seems to me to be the issue and the question on many people's minds. What is Christmas all about? Well, that's what I want to remind you, and I'm not claiming any novelty at all for what I have to say. So let's look at Matthew chapter 1, because this is one of those passages in the scripture which does tell us about Christmas and about Jesus Christ. In fact, Matthew 1 verse 1, Matthew, who's a Jew of course, writing to a Jewish audience, he says the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew is writing about Jesus Christ to a Jewish congregation who had rejected him and put him to death. And yet, that's how Matthew starts his good news, his gospel. So let's investigate this a little bit more. We're not going to read all the verses between verse 2 and verse 16, but it would be good for you to take your Bible out over the Christmas period and look up some of these people. Some of them you know well. Some of them were great men and women of God. Some of them you won't know quite so well. And some of them were far from being holy people. So, like all of us, Jesus had a mixed heritage. Some people today love to investigate their genealogy. You can sign up for an organization which is advertised on television to find out about your family tree. I must admit I've always been a bit hesitant about that, because I suspect that quite a few of my family tree were rogues and, best forgotten. And probably you would find the same if you took the trouble to investigate. But God deals with rogues as well as with godly men. So just read through them and think about them. But the summary, verse 17, all the generations from Abraham to David. Now, they were two great men of God. 14 generations. And then from David until the captivity in Babylon. Again, 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the coming of the Christ, 14 generations. So that's what the intervening verses tell us about. Who fathered whom? Abraham begot Isaac, we know that. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So, according to Matthew, Christmas is about the birth of Christ. Jacob begot Joseph, who was or became the husband of Mary, who was of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Well, of course, we all know that. Well, do we in these days? How many of the people that drive past this building every week, every Sunday, they're not interested in Jesus, the son of Mary, who is called Christ. The word Christ means the anointed one, the one who is chosen by God. People in general in Port Slade today are not interested in Jesus Christ, and may never be interested. But you and I, the very fact that we're here, and most of you are here every week, you and I, we're interested in Jesus Christ. So at the very beginning, we find that we are at odds with the world. The world is interested in all sorts of things at Christmas, but not about the birth of Jesus Christ. But Matthew goes on and tells us, verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. He's telling us what this is all about. And in this whole chapter, Matthew chapter 1, he tells us that Christmas is all about people. The genealogy is a list of people, fathers and sons and so on. Some great people, some not so great people. But it's all about families, not just individuals, but families, because Abraham had a son who was Isaac and so on. And Jacob had a son who was Joseph, the husband of Mary. So Christmas is about people. It is about families in particular. And we need to know about these families. And this line, this family line, which we're referred back to in Matthew chapter 1. The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. It starts off with a hint of scandal. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child. She was pregnant. She was expecting a child, and she was told that it would be a son, but not the son of Joseph, who was her betrothed, her man, her husband. This child, according to Matthew, was of the Holy Spirit. Never before had such a baby been conceived. And never before had such a baby been born and given to the people of God and to the world at large. After his mother Mary was betrothed, a bit like an engagement, I suppose. Many engaged couples have sex before marriage. And some get pregnant, and sometimes the marriage never takes place because of the scandal. But this was a different situation. This baby and this mother were given a child conceived by the Holy Spirit. But Joseph was troubled about this. Then Joseph, her husband, verse 19, being a just man, a righteous man, a man who believed in God and who obeyed God's law. Joseph was in a dilemma. He knew that he had not had sex with Mary. Mary knew that they had not had sexual relations which could have led to her conceiving a child. So both Mary and Joseph were faced with a dilemma. And Joseph was a righteous man, a just man. And not wanting to make a public example of her, was minded to put her away secretly. This particular dilemma for Joseph was that how could he marry a woman to whom he was betrothed, but a woman who was discovered to be pregnant? How could he marry a woman and how could he obey God in that situation? And he was perplexed, I'm sure. He was troubled, to say the least. He thought about opting for a divorce. And yet he didn't want to make Mary a public example. Divorce is always public. Some of us here have been divorced, and it's always an unpleasant experience, and it's a public experience. And the issue of divorce stays with you the whole of your life, even if you're a Christian. I have been divorced, and yet I'm a preacher of the gospel. And the circumstances of my divorce have caused me endless regrets and troubles over the years. You're never free of it. If you're a righteous man like Joseph, you can never forget what has happened to you, what you have done, what you haven't done. And Joseph was troubled. He didn't want to make her a public example, but he clearly was thinking about it, as any God-honoring, God-fearing Jew would be bound to think about it in these circumstances. What is divorce? People still don't agree about that, even nowadays, whether in the church or out of the church. What's involved? What are the repercussions for the husband or the wife? Joseph didn't want to put Mary through all that. He loved her. He was betrothed to her. He was initially, no doubt, shocked to find out about her condition. He was minded to put her away secretly. You can't have those sort of things as a secret. Be sure your sins will find you out is a well-known expression which applies to this situation. The sins, or if there were sins, were going to be public, and Joseph knew that they were going to be public. And give Joseph his due, verse 20, while he thought about these things. He was a thoughtful man. He was a kind man. He was a righteous man. He didn't want to do what was, on the one hand, he felt he had to do or should have to do. He thought about these things. And no doubt Mary thought about them as well, as we know from other passages like the Magnificat and so on. While he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. An angel of the Lord. God was involved in this situation. But how could God be involved in something that was likely to be scandalous and recognized to be sinful. And yet we're told that the baby, the child conceived in the womb of Mary, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, who is God. So you could say the whole thing is a mess. It's a sort of mess that no young woman or young man wants to find himself in. But it was a mess. And Joseph knew it was a mess, and he was thinking long and hard about his situation. And Christianity is like that. The Christian faith is like that. Many of you here know some of these circumstances. Would you have thought up to this point that God was involved in all this? Well, you might have wondered what it meant. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. But then, not only was that the ultimate explanation, it was actually the announcement of the angel. While he thought about these things, behold, an angel, a messenger of the Lord, appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." That phrase is repeated in verse 18 and in verse 20. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. God is involved in this. People often think that God is not involved with sin. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God cannot sin because he is holy. And yet God is involved with sin in every day of the week and every generation. God is involved with sin. Before Jesus was born, God had prepared a plan of salvation, a plan to save his people from their sins. And the angel says to Joseph, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the scandal, or the possibility of the scandal. Don't be afraid to do what is right. You know what is right, and God is working in this situation." Again, we tend to think that God somehow governs the world and the affairs of the world. And the theologians will talk about common grace and God's working, the way God works in the world. And the angel has this message: don't be afraid. Mary, your wife, has conceived a child which is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son. Now, we tend to think that knowing the sex of a child before birth is a bit of modern technology. You have a scan, and they put oil or something like oil on your tummy, and they get a wonderful piece of computerized equipment and discover what is in the lady's womb. Well, they knew that even in the Old Testament and the New Testament. She will bring forth a son, not a girl, but a boy. And you shall call his name Jesus. So not only did they know that Mary was going to have a son, but Joseph and Mary both knew what he was to be called, and his name was to be called Jesus, a boy's name, Jehoshua, the Saviour, which is what the word means. His name will be called Jesus. All of this is told to the whole world in the first chapter of the first book of the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel. So nobody really, no intelligent person, no person in this country certainly with whom we're dealing, no person has any excuse for not knowing what Christmas is about. We all know here, and all the people that have gone through English schools in the past generations, they all knew that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ. And yet the vast majority of them didn't really want to know. The Gospel says, John's Gospel says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And the Jews and the English and every other educated person knew and knows and has always known that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ. Mary, who was a virgin, a woman who had not had sexual relations with a man, that Mary had conceived a child, and that that child was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary, and that she was predicted, she will bring forth a son, verse 21. And you, Joseph and Mary, shall call his name Jesus, the Saviour, for he will save his people from their sins. Notice, at the time the angel was saying this, this was still in the future. It wasn't on Christmas Day, it was some time before that that Matthew begins this with this announcement of the birth, the conception and birth of Jesus Christ. And this Jesus is and will be recognized as the Christ. Matthew, in the first verse of Matthew chapter 1, says the genealogy of Jesus, the Christ, Jesus the Anointed One, the one chosen by God. And Matthew again says in verse 17, until the Messiah, until the Christ came, there are so many generations. And in verse 16, Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So, no doubt about it that not only did everyone know, everyone who reads the Bible or has had the Bible read to them, that this Christmas is all about the birth of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. The Christ means the Messiah. You shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this was done, verse 22, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. The prophet, of course, is the prophet Isaiah. And two verses from Isaiah are then quoted in this section, which are read frequently at Christmas time. First of all, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, and then Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Behold, the virgin shall be with child. Notice the virgin. the woman who has not had sexual relations with a man, the virgin, shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. These things came about in fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, which was given about 700 years before Jesus was born. Isn't that amazing? God had from the beginning planned a way of salvation and then revealed that plan of salvation to a prophet, a man foretelling the future 700 years before these events come to pass. And then Joseph, verse 24, being aroused from sleep, this was all in a dream, of course, the angel of the Lord spoke to him in a dream, being aroused from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Joseph had been perplexed by what he had discovered. He had had a message from an angel in a dream, and he made the right decision. He was aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. He was betrothed to his wife. He married his wife, even though he knew she was pregnant, and even though he knew that was contrary, an action contrary to the Jewish teaching. Took to him his wife and did not know her. The word know there has a particular meaning in the Bible. It means to have sexual relations with a woman. And the same term is used in verse 18 we've looked at. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, engaged, you could put it in English terms, before they came together, before they had sexual relations. He took his wife, verse 24, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. So not only was Joseph a righteous man, not only was he a kind man who didn't want to expose the woman he loved to public shame, but he was an obedient man. He did what the angel of the Lord told him. He married Mary and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So we should be reminding ourselves, first of all, and reminding the people that we mix with every day, our own families, our friends, our neighbours, the people we meet in the shops or in our job or whatever it is, we should be reminding ourselves and them that Jesus is about the birth of, that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ. And we know it and they know it. But in most cases, they prefer to ignore what the Bible says, as of course in lots of other things they ignore what the Bible says, and so what do? Well, they spend their time buying presents, drinking alcohol to excess, going out and enjoying themselves, but not paying any attention at all to the birth of Jesus Christ. So Christmas is about people. Joseph, who was not the father of Jesus, Mary, who was the mother of Jesus, Jesus, who was the saviour of sinners, and Isaiah, who predicted all this so many years before, and he called his name Jesus. So, who did Jesus come to save? You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Verse 21. Who did Jesus come to save? Well, he came to save his people. Those who were chosen by God and given to Christ Jesus, the Son of God, before the foundation of the world, before the creation of the world. This was no accident, no error of some kind. It was God's plan, it was God's purpose, and he came to save, and he came to save his people from their sins. So I suppose the only question that matters then is, who are his people? Are you, each one of us, his people? You go to church, you maybe read the Bible, you perhaps pray, you use the name of being a Christian, but are you one of God's people? I hope so, because we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That is what is going to happen to us when we die. Because Jesus was born, he died, and he died to save his people from their sins. He was betrayed, taken to the cross, and crucified, put to death. But then God fulfilled his plan, because Jesus, who was born of the Holy Spirit, conceived by the Holy Spirit, Jesus was raised again from the dead by the Holy Spirit. And he appeared to his disciples on many occasions. And then he ascended into heaven, and now is sat down at the right hand of God in heaven. So this Christmas is about Jesus, who was born of the Holy Spirit and who died in the purposes of God, that you and I might live forever, that we might have everlasting life. May God help us to dwell on these things. And when people say to them, oh, Christmas isn't like it used to be, well, Christmas is like it used to be, but not in the way that the world thinks of it, not in the way that people dwell upon the nostalgia of Christmas. Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ, and about whether you and I believe that, and whether you and I are these people for whom Jesus came and was born and died and rose again and ascended into heaven. May God bless us. And we're going to sing our hymn 183. Let it leave thy throne and thy kingly crown. Remember that Jesus, who came, is and was and always will be God, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. And that's what this hymn is about. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity, for thy holy birth. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Answer me the question. Have you taken Jesus into your heart? Is there room in your heart for him? Do you belong to Jesus? And will you be with him forever when you die? Let's stand up and sing.